Everybody, and see that timing? I look at James and he just kind of knows, and isn't he a good guy? I like James, man of integrity. Thank you, worship team. Whew, God is good. Well, I don't have any PowerPoint or multimedia for you this morning. Hey, there's our good friends from Elliott Lake. Good morning. And I didn't get over to greet you when I was... How many years have you been coming here on a Sunday? 15?
How many years have you been here?
19.
19? Well, I'd say close to about
17. 17 years. Wow. Yeah, we're in our 19th year. Who figured that? And you know what? We had a word of confidence this week. Someone from another church was here visiting with Linda. She took Linda in her arms and she said, I just love you and you are held in such high regard in our city amongst the other churches, you and Pastor Ken. And after all of these years, you know, I'm not looking for compliments, but boy, is that sure nice to hear, isn't it? And you know, and then I think, and she meant the church as well. And we're held in a good place. You know, it's a safe house. It's a place to come and chill out. You could be who you want to be, and you know, it's not a controlled environment. And I love it. So good morning. I've spent this week thinking about our identity in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 is a very, very powerful verse in the Bible. Amen? And it says this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. That's a very, very, very powerful verse in the Bible. Christians are brand new people on the inside. You are brand new people on the inside. The Holy Spirit gives us new life, and we are not the same anymore. We are not the same anymore. Right from the life application notes. We are not reformed, rehabilitated, or re-educated. We are recreated in a vital union with Christ. Did you hear what I said? Okay? So we are not reformed, we are not rehabilitated, we are not re-educated, but we are recreated into a living union with Christ. That's very, very, very powerful. So my question to you this morning is, are you living with spiritual fullness in Christ? Are you living in spiritual fullness in Christ? It's an amazing question because the new creation has come, right? The old has gone. The new is here, all because of the cross of Jesus Christ. All because of the cross of Jesus Christ. I love this cross. I love that cross. It's funny, you know, you come into the sanctuary and you kneel at the altar. I never kneel over there. I kneel over here. You know, it's just, oh, Father, thank you for opening my eyes. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a supernatural love to love some people that are not too lovable. Okay, it has to be divine sometimes. Amen. Right? It's just being honest. I posted that picture on Facebook. How many of you saw it? I have about, I don't know, 800-900 friends on Facebook. A lot of those are pastors. And so, you know, sometimes people, they get tired of maybe what I'm pastoring or what I'm saying. But you know what? I'm always thinking about caring and mentoring other pastors. Always saying something to encourage another pastor. Because pastors carry a heavy weight. They carry the weight of their community. They carry the weight of their churches. They carry the weight of managing the church. You could be in a community. I know pastors are in a community with one business that runs the whole town, and there's a massive layoff, and you know what? The burden that you have for people, if you are really a pastor and you understand the calling, you just cry out to God for the people because you don't want to see anyone suffer. So I put that on there, and I put on there, I said, every day until Resurrection Sunday, I think of the cross every day. And you know what? It could be just somebody who is not thinking in that way at all. And it may be just that moment. It could be the lights came on in that moment and say, oh my goodness, I need to refocus. And that could be you this morning too. So I posted that. And as we enter into this holy season on the Christian calendar, I'm thankful daily for the cross of Jesus Christ. And I thought about Easter a lot this week, about the cross and our new identity in Him. And I praised Him and I thanked Him. So in any message that you preach, at some point there's going to be an introduction of some tension. Okay? And then what will happen is we'll take you out of that tension and you will leave encouraged. But at this moment here, I'm going to introduce you to the tension. And it's this. I was thanking God and praising God this week for the cross and everything, but then my pastor's heart kicked in. And I began to pray and ask the Lord why so many people struggle in their new identity in Christ. And instead often find their identity in past pain or in current problems. Now, I preached a message many years ago in this church in 2001, I think it was, because you know that if you have a Mac, all you have to do is in Spotlight put a word in, and it'll search your whole hard drive, and in 1 second it'll, boom. So it's amazing. And so a message came up, and I said similar thing in 2001, and I still have this burden within my heart. I want to see victory in people's lives. And yet so often I see people drawing from the pain of the past or from current problems. And this has been something that's been on my heart from the earliest days of pastoring. From the earliest days. Even when, it's funny because when Linda and I came to know the Lord on January 29th of 1989, because we were already adults, and I guess we had developed social skills, so people in the church started coming to us within, because people here don't know whether you're saved 5 minutes or 50 years. And within a very, very short time, they started to come to us, and they'd say, you know, and I said, well, how long, tell me your testimony, how long have you been saved? And they said, well, I've been saved 30 years. Or I've been saved 10 years, or I've been saved this. And then they would start to tell me that their problems or the things that they carry on their heart. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, when I gave my heart to you, I felt such a burden lift off my heart. I felt so free, you know? And I told a story in the prayer room this morning, and that could have held me captive. That could have kept me in a place that I would revisit all the time, that would hold me hostage to be able to be thankful or stuff like that. And sometimes, you know, I get discouraged, and but there's this something on my heart has been there for a long time. And so that's what drives me to pray for some of you, you know, and stuff like this. But sometimes I get discouraged because, and I just need to spend time alone with God to get recharged, because the Barnabas calling on my life, the encouragement part of that, can be relationally exhausted from time. You hear me? So sometimes I'm relationally exhausted. It's not that I don't want to hang around with you. I don't have anything left to give. I've spent so much time praying. I want to see victory. I want to see the body of Christ healthy. Now, I'm not putting a blanket over the whole body of Christ, but as pastors, our calling, we're not the social conveners or the recruitment department to just assign people up so that we could run programs. You know, a healthy church is an empty church if the body is doing what the body is supposed to be doing, because then they're out doing what they need to do. But if the body isn't healthy, they're not doing that. So that's the burden that was on my heart. So I read an article this week, and it's by Dr. David Jeremiah. And the title of it, I'm not going to go into any of the details of it, but the title of it speaks for itself. And it says this is the title. It says, "Dear Christian, stop letting your problems define you," by Dr. Jeremiah. And in the article, he says, only God can define you. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Then walk in it. Okay? It's interesting. Social media is a blessing and a curse. Because a lot of the people I know, and it's not a curse because of all the things in the world, sometimes it's a curse because of Christians. Because the same people that are singing hallelujah on a Sunday are cursing and swearing and saying vile things on Facebook that, you know what, before I was saved, I would never do that because, you know what, my parents would kill me. Okay? And yet, why, what is that? What is that? Only God can define us, right? Only God can define us. So, it says in the article here, let faith be your middle name. Okay? Let faith be your middle name. I really, really like that. My name is Ken. I was going to say Ken, but it doesn't go well with faith. So my name is Kenneth Faith Jeffrey. Okay? Your name is Linda Faith Jeffrey. What's your name? Say your name. Say your name, Faith, and your last name. Say it. Okay. And when people think of our names, right, let's make sure that they don't define us by our problems, but by our perseverance and by the God in whom we trust. Amen? Like, honest to goodness, we were talking about that in our Connect group this morning, and I got a motor, but I get... But we were talking about that in our Connect group this morning. So I'll use Kathy as an illustration. So all of a sudden we're praising God and we're having a good conversation. And then Kathy throws out a however or a but you don't know. Okay? And so what happens is like, so we're talking about this morning about our identity in Christ and we're talking about all of this. And then Kathy, you were really good last week in that illustrative message. But say, however... Say to me, however, you don't know my story.
However, you don't know my story.
So all of a sudden, everyone in the room is going to draw their attention to Kathy. Right? Because that's what we do. We care. We love. We want to reach out. But when that happens every single week, but however, and then what happens is it just sucks everything out. But your identity is in Him. So are you staying in your however because you like it? Because what you're doing is by saying however constantly over and over again is saying, I don't really want to change. I really don't want your help, but I want you to hear me. So we have a new identity in Him, right? And when people see us, they should see in us, when they think of our names, they should think of us not by our problems, but by our perseverance. I've had some hard things that happened in my life, but I am an overcomer. And so someone would say, you know his story? There were some challenges that he had in his life, but he's an overcomer. He practices perseverance. I respect that. It's, you know, and that's how, it doesn't mean all our problems go away. Okay, but that's how we should be known. So the story, a story of faith, is always a don't give up story of perseverance. Amen? Amen. Always. And a story of pushing through and refusing to put the puzzle away even when the picture isn't clear. Okay? So I'm going to finish the puzzle. I'm not going to sweep it away. I'm going to finish the puzzle. But even at his lowest moment, we're talking about Job, he teaches us an important lesson. We must never be defined and allow our problems to define us. I don't like the book of Job, to be personally honest with you, like the details of it going through. You know what? Don't tell me how. Help me be. Like the last thing I need is someone to tell me how to do things over and over again. It's like you tune them out. Well, if I was you, I would. Oh, shut up. You know? Help me be. Help me be. Like, I don't need any more hows. Like, you know what I mean? And so, to be honest with you, like, these guys in the book of Job, like, oh my goodness, like, get a life, buddy, you know? Like, man, like, don't do, like, please, be a Job, but don't be his friends in my life, okay? Like, I don't need that. And so, we must never allow our problems to define us. And as hard as it was, one thing I love about Job is that he never abandoned his faith in God. Okay, I don't understand the whole story. I'm supposed to know all this stuff, you know. Pastors, we're supposed to be theologians, mechanics, everything. We're supposed to, you know, I don't get it. Okay? I pray that Holy Spirit in my life, because I don't think that we will go through anything like Job, but I hope that Holy Spirit in my life will give me the strength enough to be able to persevere and never lose my faith and always call on Him. Amen. So I have an interesting story, and it's about canoeing. And how many of you know that canoeing is an interesting activity? Okay. And again, this is from a long time ago, and it just came, it popped into my heart this week in my mind, and there are many challenges that accompany canoeing. Okay, isn't there? It can be fun, but it can be frustrating. And it can be scary. And we can draw much application from canoeing. So this week I was reminded of the first time Linda and I went canoeing together in 2001. So we were in North Bay and we were on the Mattawa River. So there was a docking place where we went and you could rent canoes. I don't even know where that is today, but maybe some of you know where it is, and we got into our canoe. And we were paddling away, and I was thinking to myself, there's a sermon in this, you know, for sure. And I was just thinking this when our friend Robin and Dorinda paddled beside us and said, hey, Ken, there's a message in this, you know, and right next Sunday. Think about it, Ken. So Linda and I were pretty excited about getting into this canoe and gliding over this open water, and we had visions of peace and tranquility, and it's so, the water was nice. It was windy, but it was nice. But, you know, just to see the trees and the nature and everything around, we had visions of, oh man, this is the life. How many of you have ever been canoeing? Okay. And so we got into the boat and we started paddling, but it wasn't very smooth at all. We seemed to be working against each other. Like, we were not working together. And, you know, and the more we weren't working together, the more frustrated we were with each other. It's like, I could have thrown you out of that canoe, and you could have thrown me out of that canoe. It would be, here, just let me do it. Get out of the canoe. I'll do it myself. And you probably thought the same way. And all around us was this beautiful, beautiful country, tall, lovely trees, singing birds. And I'm thinking like, oh my goodness, isn't God's sound system the best sound system in the world? Like, oh my God, if you just stop and you'd listen for a second. Have you ever been to a symphony orchestra? Okay, where you can hear every little thing. You know, we were in Kitchener once, and friends of ours bought us a beautiful Christmas present, and we went to see the Christmas Pops or something at the Kitchener Auditorium, and we were sitting in these seats, and I could hear, it was like a little cymbal or something. Ding! And it was like perfect. And I closed my eyes. I said, oh. So this is what I was anticipating in the country, this incredible sound system. And we were in the canoe, we were paddling around, but we were not in harmony with each other. And the wind came along and it turned us around, even sending us into a lily pad on the side of the shore. And the wind was pretty strong at times, like the winds of life. Right? The winds of life. And we were missing the beautiful view all around us. We were. So Dorinda and Robin, they're really wonderful friends of ours. Robin was on the board when we were hired at Parkview Church in Guelph, our first ministry. He's been alongside us. He probably messages me a few times a week, and he just speaks life into us and us into him, and he's just a wonderful friend. And so even back then, he came alongside us. And they did not seem to be having any difficulty at all. Like, it was just like, and it was like, looking at them. And they seemed to be enjoying the ride, taking in the scenes and God's beautiful sound system. It seemed so peaceful and relaxed. And I thought, okay, I'm going to swallow my pride. I better speak up. Robin, what am I doing wrong? And after a five-minute crash course in canoeing, we began to apply our newfound knowledge. And what do you know? The winds on the water became manageable. We had fun enjoying each other's company and God's creation. And once we worked in harmony with each other, our conversation changed from, oh, this is a drag. You know what? Let's just get out of this stupid canoe. I hate canoeing, you know? I'm never going to do this stupid thing again. Only stupid people do these things. You know, like, hey, has that been some of our attitudes from time? Okay. Am I preaching to the choir this morning? Okay. Has that been your song from time to time? Okay. So we were there, and so our conversation changed to this. Look at the turtles over there. Oh, my goodness. Is that a beaver dam? You know, what kind of bird is that singing over there? Hey, Robin and Dorinda, you know what kind of bird that is? No, of course, Linda knows all the birds. Oh, I think it's that bird, you know. And so, look at that woodpecker. Oh, my goodness, what a beautiful, peaceful day. I was in so much preparation to come and preach on the Sunday because that was on a Saturday. See, we were created, folks, to have a relationship with the Lord. And when we are not in harmony with the Lord, the winds and the storms of life prevent us from seeing him in all of his love. And we don't see ourselves as those people that are a new creation anymore. Okay? The old is gone. The new has come. It's time to walk into the new all the time. It doesn't mean that the problems are not there. Okay? But when the blood of Christ covers that old nature, that's buried. Okay, so what happens is when we bring up that old nature, it's not there anymore in God's eyes. It's not there. Bill Johnson said that this morning. So when Linda and I began to work as a team, the winds were still there, and life is like that, amen? The difference is on how we handled it. And we could have spent the entire afternoon struggling and not getting anywhere, but we had a choice to make. And so do you. In Christ, we are new creations. In Christ is Paul's most characteristic expression of what it means to be a Christian. Did you know that? In Christ. We are in Christ. We are in Christ. Can you say that with me? We are in Christ. And our relationship with Christ affects everything and every aspect of our life. Everything. Everything. Now, if you don't walk in Christ, then you don't give a hoot what I'm saying anyways, and it doesn't apply to you. But for those of us whose eyes have been opened to Christ, we have no business going back to that old nature. Okay? So I'm preaching to the saved today. Okay? So we have no excuse. We have no excuse for that. Now, don't tell me how to get there. Help me be. Okay? Let's not be legalistic with this. So I read a story about the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts being in a storm. When he was sailing to Rome, you remember the story, and hardly a comparable situation to the winds that we were experiencing when we were canoeing on the Mattawa River, but everything is important to God nonetheless, right? So our story on the Mattawa River was important to God, just like your story is important to God right here this morning. It doesn't have to be a big story like Paul's. But anyway, Paul was in the midst of a storm, and the word says in Acts chapter 27 and 15 that the ship was caught by a storm and could not head into the wind, and they gave way to it and were driven along. How many of you have felt sometimes that your life has just been driven along? Because you can't come up against the winds, the storms. And in verse 18, it took such a violent battering from the storm that the next day they began to throw their cargo overboard. And I thought of this illustration, just now I just thought of it. And how often are we just throwing things overboard because the storms of life? Amen? And prior to Paul's born-again experience, he decided that God could not possibly be the Messiah. Did you know that there's people, maybe even here, that are not even convinced that Jesus is the Messiah? Okay, maybe, I don't know. However, his view radically changed when he encountered Christ face to face on the road to Damascus, and he found out that being in Christ was the correct way of knowing truth. It was the correct way of knowing truth. And Paul was now in harmony with the Spirit of God. And when that happens, things change. So listen to his words. Listen to Paul's words. In Acts chapter 27, verses 25, 22 to 25, basically, it says this. It says, I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God stood before me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. Do not be afraid. When we walk in harmony with the Lord, even in storms, things are different. Amen? Things are different. And when we come into a union with our risen and our glorified God, we are new creations in Him. We are new creations in Him. And when we perceive Christ in a new way, the old things are passed away. And this means that a decisive break from the old life at the moment of salvation. At the moment of salvation, all things become new. Genesis 1 and 26, it says, let us make them in our image, in our likeness. And let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over the earth, and over all creatures that move along the ground. You are free. We are free. We are free. We are free. I read this story a long time ago. I actually read it here once in this church many years ago. Probably Gene is the only, Gene and you guys are maybe the only ones who, you won't remember it, but, you know, it was even before you came here. And it was a story of a guy named Victor, who at age 15 was told by his teacher that he would never finish school and that he should drop out and learn a trade. And has anyone ever been like that with you? Has anyone ever spoke those curses into your life here this morning? Okay. And Victor took the advice, and for the next 17 years, he was doing all sorts of various odd jobs. And he was once told he was a dunce. Anyone ever been told you're stupid or you're a dunce? Anyone else? I ministered to a pastor who a leader in their church, not a senior pastor, a staff pastor in a church, and someone in their church told him he was dumb. Could you imagine? Any of you ever been told you're dumb? Like, what is that? You know? You go into, Walmart, this is a store where there's a lot of kids, happened only once, and I saw some mother screaming at her kid and say, you're so stupid. So So anyways, Victor, he, you know what happened? 17 years, he started to act like one. He started to act like a dunce. And when he was 32 years old, an amazing transformation took place. An evaluation revealed that he was a genius with an IQ of 161. Guess what? That's right. He started acting like a genius. Okay. And since that time, he has written books. He has secured a number of patents, and he has become a successful business person. And perhaps most significant, and Jean, you'll like this because your daughter is a Menzies kid, you know. But most significant of this was formed, this dropout, was his election as the chairman of the International Menzies Society. And the Menzies Society only has one requirement to get in, and it's that you have to have an IQ of 140. So what made the difference in Victor's life? Did all of a sudden he become smart at 32 years old? What changed the way, what changed was the way he saw himself. Amen? And I have to wonder how many of us as Christians are like Victor. We live far beneath the privileges because we believe what others are saying rather than what God has said, who we are and what He will do within our life. We live far below that. And that's unacceptable. And that's unacceptable. So now you know why sometimes I have relational exhaustion. Because as a Barnabas type of person, I get an hour on or half an hour on a Sunday to be able to take everything that I prayed about and cried out to God to give to you on a Sunday, only sometimes to see the same story repeating itself over and over and over again. And my cry is that, oh Lord, I would just wish that they would know that they are your masterpiece. And that they would walk in that in confidence. That, Lord, that your glory can shine through every one of their lives, through every one of their words. Lord, that when they speak, lives can be transformed because of who you are. Amen? You are in Christ. You are a new creation. He is making you entirely new. And when we walk in harmony with Jesus, when we paddle together, deep things are taking place within. Amen? Right now, deep things are taking place within me. And you know what? There's deep things that are taking place within you as well. And you know what? And I'm not a manipulator, okay? I'm not trying to get everyone to the altar and say, you need to get here if the Lord is speaking. I know, because I could sense it. Because when you walk close with the Lord, and the Spirit is in you, you become depleted because the Spirit of God is just ministering to other people through your life, not just through my life as a pastor, but through your life. Why wouldn't we want to walk in this? Why wouldn't we want to be in that zone? Why wouldn't we want to just be there? Why would we go? But, however, you don't know my story. No, you don't know my story either. Okay? And you don't know a couple of other people's stories in here because they would never tell you. But I'll tell you something. When Linda and I worked in harmony with each other, our conversation changed. From this is a drag to look at the turtles in the water. Or is that a beaver? What kind of bird is that? Look at the woodpecker. We were created to have a relationship with the Lord. And when we are not in harmony with Him, the storms of life will come and they will wipe you out. We could have spent that entire afternoon struggling against each other and not get anywhere. Do you realize that we can spend a whole life struggling against God and not getting anywhere? Okay? Jesus is not a band-aid. Jesus is not a happy pill. Jesus is a relationship. Okay? When I'm down and out, I don't get along with God so I can get happy. I get along with God so that I could understand His character, so that my character will line up with his character. Amen? Amen. So all the situations that you encounter take precedent over, cannot take precedent over the relationship the Lord wants to have with you. So we're going to have communion here this morning, and when we come to have communion, I'm going to ask John and Linda to come and help me worship team. And are they not here? I guess not. That's okay. And when your worship leaders have children, they come. So God is good. Amen. Amen. So what did you think? So what do you think? Was it a good message? Did it pertain to your hearts this morning? Yeah.